If you have your Bibles open, Luke chapter 23. Again, this morning we'll look at verses 50 to 54. And next Sunday morning we have a special opportunity to consider the time frame when Christ was in the grave and everything that was done in those days. The Bible says that Christ would be there in the grave and that he would rise again. And so we'll look at that that time in the grave, what transpired in those hours and days. We'll look at that next Sunday morning. And then, Lord willing, by God's grace, on April the 9th, Easter Sunday morning, we begin Luke chapter 24 and consider the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if you're in the habit of inviting folks for church and for different special services, a lot of religious people will look for a place to go on Easter Sunday. And I want you to challenge maybe a coworker or a friend or a neighbor and invite them to be here for services. We do consider what the Lord has done in his death, burial, and resurrection on that morning. And so I want to challenge you to be inviting folks to join us for that special day. We're coming toward the close of the Gospel of Luke, and specifically the end of this chapter. We've looked at so much here as related to the crucifixion of Christ, the time in which he was arrested in the garden. He was tried in three religious trials, tried in three secular trials. And now he's been through these hours on the cross, and he finally gives up the ghost and declares it is finished. And we find here in this verse number 50 what transpired after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you look there in Luke chapter 23, verse number 50? And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a just man, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel indeed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. I want to look at the account in John's Gospel. We'll consider different passages throughout the message this morning from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I want to read to you what the Gospel of John says. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus therefore because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Everything that we've seen in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Keep in mind that in the Gospel, or in the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, there are over 400 prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And every single one of them was completely fulfilled in his life, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And he made his grave with the wicked," dying between two thieves, of course, "and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth." The events of the cross had a profound impact on people that observed both the verbal and the physical abuse of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief observed all of these things and believed. The centurion observed all these things and believed. Another man was moved not to belief, but to public profession. The cross brings a man out of the shadows and into the light of public profession. I want you to see this man Joseph this morning and consider what he did for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was moved by the events of the cross to publicly proclaiming his discipleship from the Lord himself. Would you notice first of all with me Joseph's position? Joseph's position. The Bible calls him a counselor, a good man, a just man, a man that was not consenting unto the counsel, the religious counsel that had put Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew that he was a rich man of Arimathea. The Bible says in the Gospel of Mark that he was an honorable counselor that waited on the kingdom of God. The Bible then says in John chapter 19 that he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. You see, there was a time in which Joseph had been a religious man. He adhered to all the religious dictates that had been given to him, and in his position and in his knowledge, he followed everything that religion demanded. But much like Nicodemus, there came a day in which Joseph of Arimathea was going to be moved from religion to righteousness. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse number 1 through 7 that Nicodemus came to Christ by night. And the word says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. My friend, there must be a time in your life where you move beyond religion and come to the righteousness that is found solely in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5 that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy that He saves us. My friend, religious rituals will not save a person. Religious works will not save a person. Religious doctrine, religious memorization, religious dogma will never save an individual. You must be moved from religion to the righteousness that has been found solely in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of Nicodemus' account, but no doubt Joseph of Arimathea had much the same account. And both of them were very well off. Both of them were high up in the Sanhedrin. Both of them had opportunity to watch everything unfold as the religious crowd arrested Jesus and then tried Jesus. Both of them had that position of knowing everything that was going on in their following the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them had privately made a decision to be believers in Jesus Christ. They've been moved from religion to righteousness. And at some point in time, Joseph and Nicodemus had come to the light. They became disciples of the Lord. We notice not only Joseph's position, but number two, we notice Joseph's petition. The Bible says he goes to Pilate and begs the body of Jesus Christ. He had been a private follower of the Lord up until this point. But observing everything that happened in the three religious trials, and observing everything that had happened in those three secular trials, And now observing everything that took place in that road to Golgotha, in the carrying of the cross, in the nailing of Christ to the cross, and everything that took place when they placed that cross in its position. And then Jesus hung there for hour upon hour. And he watches the Lord respond to those that pass by. And he is actually a private believer. He believes that Jesus is Messiah and is waiting on the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But everything about this matter moved Joseph beyond that private following of the Lord to a public following of the Lord. And he goes behind the scenes and he approaches Pilate and he begs the body of Jesus. Now we know from all the gospel accounts that Pilate is no friend of the religious crowd. He's already done a number of things to aggravate the religious crowd. He posted a sign above the Lord that this was the King of the Jews, and that really upset them. And now as his body is now dead, he is going to give his body to Joseph of Arimathea, another step that would purely aggravate the religious crowd in this day. No doubt there would be others that would be that would have intentions against the body of Jesus. Perhaps there were those that would seek to mutilate his body. Perhaps there were those that would seek to dispose of it with the common trash. There were others that would seek to parade it like a conquered king. And yet others that would be more than happy to leave the body of Christ on the cross, that the fowls of the air might come and consume his body part by part. It is as though Joseph goes to Pilate and says, I may not have been able to thwart their plans in his death, but I want to thwart their plans for his body after his death. He begs the body of Pilate, and upon the pronouncement from the centurion that in fact Jesus Christ is dead, the Bible says that Pilate gives way for Joseph to care for the body of Christ. Joseph's position, he had been moved from religion to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, albeit in a private way to this point. But now Joseph is going to step out from behind the shadows of discipleship, and he's going to come to the forefront, and he's going to come to the light, and he's going to petition Pilate for the body of the Lord. Which brings us to number three this morning, Joseph's provision. Joseph's provision. Behind the scenes, he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He participated in everything that went on in the Sanhedrin. He'd been moved out of his religious experience to meeting a relationship with the Lord, to become a disciple. He begs the body of Pilate. Pilate acquiesces and gives him the body. And now Joseph is going to make provision. I want to read to you this morning from the other gospel accounts. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 and verses 59 and 60, and I want these accounts to sink in because there's so much that is said here. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out on the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Mark says in Mark chapter 15 and verse number 46, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher where was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. John chapter 19 verses 39 to 42, the Bible says that Joseph and Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And they took his body and laid it in that new tomb or that new garden tomb in a new sepulcher. I declare to you this morning from the passages in the gospel accounts that Joseph had come out of the shadows of a private discipleship of the Lord. And Joseph had decided, I will step forward now in his death. Maybe I could not thwart the plans that they had for him in putting him on the cross, but I'm going to thwart their plans against the Lord's body and what they would otherwise do to him if they were to be given his body. Imagine what it was like to take the body of the Lord Jesus Christ off the cross. To be able to finagle his hands and his feet over the heads of those nails. To be able to handle the body of Jesus Christ, which was no doubt now covered with the blood that had been shed. And with delicate care, Joseph and Nicodemus step forward and care for someone that had been spit upon, that had been beaten mercilessly. The crown of thorns had been placed upon his head. It had been beaten down upon his head, and no doubt that made it very difficult to care for his body. Can you imagine those that would spew hate and vitriol against Joseph and Nicodemus and anyone else who would be willing to help? This is a, from the world's perspective, a hated criminal, hated by religion, hated by those that were passing by, hated by one of the criminals that hung next to Jesus Christ. And now they're going to care for this body. We see in Joseph's provision that there was great action, that there was great personal sacrifice in the provision. We see that personal sacrifice in the care that he provided for the body of Christ. Christ had died at 3 p.m., and there were now only 3 hours left before Sabbath, and work was to be done by 6 p.m. So you can imagine how difficult it was with just 3 hours to be able to take his body down from the cross, to be able to care for that body, to be able to wrap that body secondly in linens and perfumes. And did you notice in the Gospel of John that the Bible says the mixture of myrrh and aloe was 100-pound weight? As they took this volume of time to care so delicately for the body of Christ, I'm sure in their own hearts they were thinking to themselves how moved they were in what they saw in the sacrifice of the Lord. But the great personal sacrifice is not only demonstrating the provision of the care of his body in those 3 hours and the linens and perfumes. It's interesting to note that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes in his birth, but in his death he's wrapped in linen clothes. Clothes that were probably more expensive than the clothes that he wore on a daily basis in this life. But then the Bible tells us that he is placed in a tomb where never another man had been placed. And as we read the gospel accounts, the Bible says that great lengths had gone, that they had gone to great lengths to prepare this sepulcher for the time in which someone would be placed in it. It had been hewn out of a rock. This was a specific place, a very special place. It was prepared for someone else. And yet Nicodemus and Joseph, at their own personal sacrifice, prepare this tomb for the body of the Lord himself. And he provides every single step of the way. It's interesting to me to note that a man named Joseph cared for the Lord Jesus Christ when he was just a babe and he came into this world. And another man named Joseph cared for his body when he had left this world. Joseph's position, Jesus Christ moved him from religion to actual righteousness found only in the Lord. Joseph's petition, he begs the body of Jesus Christ from that of Pilate. And Pilate, willing to give him the body, gives way. And through great personal sacrifice, Joseph makes provision that they might prepare the body of Christ, that they might lay it in the tomb, that that stone might be rolled over that tomb. And I bring you to this point this morning with these three simple things. It took the cross of Jesus Christ, everything involved, from the religious side of things to the secular side of things, for all of those events leading up to the crucifixion, and everything that was said and done while Jesus Christ hung on the cross. It took the cross to bring Joseph and Nicodemus out of the shadows of belief and into public profession. And I ask all of us this morning, what will it take for you? I know there are many that would sit in our church and churches just like it all across America, and inside the walls of this building, there are many that will profess belief in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And while speaking to others, we're more than willing to testify of how Jesus saved us when we're here in services and we give lip service to what the Lord has done in our lives and the lives of our family members. But how about when we leave this place? In John chapter 19, the Bible says that they secretly followed Jesus Christ for fear of the Jews. You know, it's a great tragedy this morning if you have family members that don't know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, it's a great tragedy this morning if no one in your neighborhood knows that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a great tragedy this morning if not one of your coworkers has ever seen any demonstration of your followership of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great tragedy if none of your students have ever seen that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a great tragedy if none of your classmates or teachers know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ moved many people to believe. The cross of Jesus Christ moved Joseph and Nicodemus out of the shadows and to the forefront. And they declared in the care of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ their love for Him. And I personally believe that it was never the same for them again. It took the cross to move them. What will it take to move you? One final verse that I find so interesting in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. This is not that long after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe a couple of months. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Pastor, I'm just not an extrovert. I'm just not the kind that can go out and testify of what the Lord's done. I'm just not the one who wants to wear the banner around my shoulders every day that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I just tell you this morning that that would all change if you spend time with Jesus. What will it take to bring you out of the shadows of a private walk with God and put you at the forefront of public profession. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the convicting words of this passage and the others that are there in the Gospels. You challenged my heart yet again. Not just being a secret service saint, but of being a public professor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we're talking about someone that truly knows the Lord as their Savior, and they're willing to identify with Christ. They're willing to identify with His death, with His burial, and with His resurrection. It's possible that there's someone in our midst this morning that needs to be moved from religion to biblical righteousness. And I pray this morning that you bring conviction to their heart over the matter of their sin. Help them to know the weight of their sin. And that there is a Savior who can relieve them, redeem them from their sin. I pray that they be saved even today. Religion will never save. Religion will not take one person to heaven. Religion leaves us lost. Joseph was moved from religion to righteousness, but to this point of his life, he's been a secret follower of the Lord. He's watched all the activities of the trials and all the activities of crucifixion. And the crucifixion moves him out into the public forum, and he begs the body of Christ from Pilate. And he and Nicodemus step forward with great personal sacrifice to care for the body of the Lord. I wonder what it would take to move our people here at FBT to being those public witnesses for the Lord. What is it that would move us to be able to tell that family member, that friend, that coworker, that neighbor, that we identify with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, that's not real popular in the world today. And there are many that are seeking to end the influence of the Word of God. They're looking to end the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ on society altogether. But may we who know Him take our stand. And may we be Christians before a lost and dying world. What will it take to move us out of the shadow into the public forum and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you convict each heart this morning? Do the work that only you can do. In Jesus' name I pray. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I do want to ask this point of invitation this morning. I want to ask from each one of you this morning that know Christ as your Savior, how many of you would say, Pastor, I have a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor. And to this point, I've been very private about my belief in Christ. But because of the example of Joseph and Nicodemus and this passage, Pastor, would you pray for me today? And pray for me in this coming week that I would be out in a public forum testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone by raise of hand that would say, Pastor, pray for me today? I see that hand. Amen. Others, amen. I have a family member, a friend, others all over the audience. A family member, a friend, a co-worker, a neighbor. And you'd say this morning, Pastor, pray for me this morning. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Many. To this point, I've been a private, secret service type believer. And in this coming week, I really want God to use me in a public way to proclaim Christ. Many hands across the audience. Lord, you've seen these hands and you know these hearts. Now, I pray that you do the work that only you can do in this time of invitation. Help us, Lord, to spend time with you that we might go boldly out into this world and proclaim Christ. Would you encourage the hearts of those that have been bold enough to raise their hands this morning? Would you soften the heart of the one that they would witness to and accomplish that work even this very week? Help us, Lord, to be the witnesses for you that we should be, in Jesus' name. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? If a time of invitation, I pray that you'll take some time this morning and just pray and say, Lord, give me boldness. Give me the boldness that I need to proclaim your name to this family member, to proclaim your name to this friend, this coworker, this neighbor. I want to ask you this morning to pray for a specific time this week that you might reach out to that person and testify of what Christ has done in your life. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to play number 487 this morning. Number 487, where he leads me, I will follow. Many of you raised your hand and said, that's me, Pastor. I need to be bold in my witness for Christ. I have some kind of a contact that this week I need to reach out to. Christ has led you to raise your hand on that matter. Would you now take this opportunity to pray and say, Lord, give me that opportunity. Give me that time that I might proclaim your name. Pastor, I have a friend. I have a relative. I have a neighbor. I have a coworker. Perhaps a classmate. Perhaps someone on the ball team. Perhaps a coach. You're going to interact with them this week. And to this point, they have no idea that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Sometime in this week, you'll say, Pastor, by God's grace, I'm going to tell them that I know the Lord. The Lord can make a difference in their life as well. Where he leads me, I will follow. Stanza this morning. Will you be honest and truthful? Where he leads me, I will follow. Christ is leading you to be the example to people that I will likely never meet. As our folks go out on visitation on Thursday nights and Saturdays, it's entirely likely that they'll never come across the one that you know. The person lives in Alexandria. The person lives in right across the line in Maryland, and we'll never knock on their door, but you're next to them every single day, and you have opportunity to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ.